Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akilah Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a 22-year-old man has pleaded guilty to criminally negligent homicide in connection to the death of a Donegal man in America. Over 17,000 people were awaiting an outpatient appointment at Letterkenny University Hospital as of the end of last month. Fianna Fáil says the scaremongering from Fine Gael over the party's commitment towards vital road projects for the North West is reckless. And there are calls for a decision to shelve plans for the Sea Survival Training Centre at Greencastle's National Fisheries College to be reversed. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. But first news, a 22-year-old man has pleaded guilty to criminally negligent homicide in connection to the death of a Donegal man in America. 19-year-old Liam McGlinchey was found dead on a Clifton Park driveway on August the 25th, 2017, after a night out. Donal Kavanagh reports.
22-year-old Samuel Herro of Cohos pleaded guilty yesterday in Saratoga County Court to criminally negligent homicide in connection with the Donegal man's death. 19-year-old Liam McGlinchey was found dead on a Clifton Park driveway after a night of drinking with Herro and another friend in August 2017. The court heard that toxicology reports revealed McGlinchey's blood alcohol content at the time of his death was 0.40%, five times the legal limit to be charged with driving while intoxicated in the US. According to US media reports, police said the 19-year-old, who had been drinking heavily, was unable to walk and kept falling, so his friends left him on the lawn outside of his home. Herro and an unidentified friend were charged with criminally negligent homicide. State police withheld the second friend's name because he was a minor at the time. Herro faces up to 4 years in prison. His sentencing is scheduled for August 8th.
The HSE says tomorrow will not be a normal day for the health service as there will be significant disruptions. 10,000 SIPCHU health workers will strike at 38 hospitals and healthcare facilities from 8 a.m. in a row with the government over whether pay rises are due under a job evaluation scheme. Sian Beattie has more.
The strike by 10,000 SIPCHU members is leading to the cancellation of thousands of surgeries, inpatient procedures, outpatient appointments and a reduction in patient catering services. The HSE's Deputy Director General of Operations, Anne O'Connor, says people should avoid going to hospital tomorrow.
So it's not a normal day. We would urge people to attend their GP, their local primary care services, if possible. But if their appointment has been cancelled, they will know about this.
Staff such as healthcare assistants, porters and cleaners will walk off the job in a row with government over €19 million worth of pay rises they say are owed to them. The union's divisional health organiser Paul Bell says they're available for meaningful talks this evening.
If the Workplace Relations Commission contacts us to have a further conversation, we would indeed attend that. But the position being put forward to government is that you just cannot insist on having conversations where they're not meaningful.
No talks are planned at the Workplace Relations Commission, so instead contingency planning has been ongoing today to try and reduce the impact of tomorrow's strike.
Meanwhile, over 17,000 people were awaiting an outpatient appointment at Letterkenny University Hospital as of the end of last month. While nationally, 56,411 people were waiting for an outpatient appointment with a consultant at the end of May, up over 40,000 since the end of last year. This has led to concerns being raised by Donegal Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher as waiting lists hit an all-time high. He says while the minister claims that money is being spent on health, the issue is going backwards instead of forward.
But if we focus in on Letterkenny, as of now there are 17,000 outpatients in total waiting, and 5,768 of those are waiting for over a year, and 3,645 waiting 18 months. Now, in relation to the Minister himself, when he took office in Donegal, there were 13,300 outpatients in total. Now there's 2,580 waiting for over a year and 835 for over 18 months. So while the Minister tells us that he and the HSE are spending billions on the health services, this has gone backwards instead of forwards.
And in your point of view, you believe that utilising the National Treatment Purchase Fund would dramatically maybe decrease these figures?
Well, the National Treatment Purchase Fund, we introduced that in office in 2002 and it was in place until 2010. And then, of course, the government decided in 2011 that there was no funding available for it or for some other reason. But in fact, they introduced it last year at our behest during the budget negotiations. And I believe that that there, by putting more funds into the National Treatment Purchase Fund and indeed ensuring that additional capacity is provided, that it can deal with it. But it's very worrying, and I'm not just scaremongering. These are facts.
The government has been accused of contravening the constitution by not bringing the terms of a 2013 agreement recognising a British exclusive economic zone in the vicinity of Rockall before the Houses of the Oireachtas. Senator Padraig McLaughlin raised the issue of fishing rights around Rockall as a commencement matter in the Seanad earlier today, asking why TDs and senators were not briefed on the document while debating the Sea Fisheries Bill, which recognised the right of UK vessels to fish in Irish waters under the Voisin agreement. He told Minister Michael Creed that the 2013 deal is the basis of Scotland's claim to exclusive fishing rights. However, he argued because the agreement wasn't debated in Leinster House, it is void.
Minister, I bring to your attention Article 10.4 of the Constitution, which is very clear in terms of your responsibility and the government's responsibility to ensure that any alienation of minerals or waters is brought before these houses. Now, in 2013, our government, in a bilateral agreement, co-signed this agreement, which recognises the exclusive economic zone of the United Kingdom that includes Rockall and a huge amount of waters around it. 2013, Taoiseach and Taoiseach were in the cabinet, never laid before these houses. I put to you today that that is in contravention of Article 10.4 of the Constitution. And I'm asking you to, at the earliest opportunity, bring that agreement for debate or ratification before these houses. I say to you that I believe that this agreement is void until you do that. And I listened to the words of yourself and Taoiseach Shacovney, and I have to say, initially I thought they were strong words. I thought you were defending Ireland's interests. And I was puzzled as to why the Scottish Government were behaving in this way. But it turns out that we gave them the grounds to do it in 2013. And I find it extraordinary that we have agreed in the Sea Fisheries Amendment Bill, which I accept went through these houses democratically, that you didn't put before us the correspondence that was coming from the Scottish Government, where basically they were telling us they wanted us out.
Responding, Minister Michael Creed said fishing rights and the exclusive economic zone are different issues, and Senator McLaughlin is conflating them when they are in fact not linked.
The Senator seems to conflate issues around sovereignty around Rockall and EEZ. EEZ is an entirely different issue to the issue around of the exclusive zone. Rockall rests within the UK EEZ. That issue has been the accepted boundary definitions of our EEZ and their EEZ. And that is an entirely different matter to an exclusion zone around Rockall and sovereignty. The bottom line here is in respect of sovereignty. We don't recognise UK sovereignty and believe we have been fishing there legitimately and continue to fish there legitimately. As to the issue of voisinage, there is no issue connecting these two matters. Voisinage was about extending two Northern Ireland boats the right to continue or to reinstate a right which they previously had to fish in our inshore waters, a right which we currently had when that legislation was being passed to fish in their inshore waters.
Communications Minister Richard Bruton says the government remains committed to restricting the access of young people to pornographic material and other harmful online content. Speaking on today's 9 to noon show, Minister Bruton confirmed that age verification for adult sites is being considered, but he said there are other concerns, including the legality of many such websites. He confirmed the government is also continuing to target online content which promotes or facilitates bullying, and told Greg Hughes that many of the offending websites are in fact illegal.
Many of these sites are illegal anyhow, and it is a question, I suppose, of catching up with them if you want to prosecute the sites themselves. The issue of age verification is certainly one that can be pursued. It has proven difficult where other countries have sought to do it, in that it seems that it can be evaded. But there's no doubt that we have to look very seriously at how we can protect young people from access to very inappropriate material. My responsibility is more on, I suppose, harmful online content like the likes of bullying, where we're looking to platforms to take stuff down. This activity is more in the criminal area, but the issues are very similar, and the government is determined to tighten our law in this area.
There are calls for a decision to shelve plans for the Sea Survival Training Centre at Greencastle's National Fisheries College to be reversed. €1.5 million in funding to deliver the centre was announced back in 2016. However, confirmation was received yesterday that no current provision or plans to proceed with the project are in place. Local councillor Martin Farn says it's imperative the project does come to fruition.
There's £1.5 million, which was allocated in 2016. Has that money been reallocated someplace else? I've got to find that out. Or can we get that funding put in place again for 2020 and move on with this project? Those are questions that I have to ask, and as I said, I will be speaking to our OCTAS members here within an issue. I intend to go on to my own party in Dublin as well, but first of all I want to speak possibly with the principal in Greencastle. I would hope that the writing wouldn't be on the wall. The response actually that came back was, and I'll just read a little bit out to you if I can, this project is currently under review in the wider context of the provision of existing professional sea survival training facilities within the state and the cost, both construction and operational, of such a facility. So I'm looking at this from the point of view it's currently under review, and that's what I'm looking at. So basically I am going to try to ensure that that $1.5 million that was allocated in 2016, that this project will go ahead. And that's a goal that we have to look at. We have got to try to ensure that the Sea Survival Training Centre, which was promised for Greencastle, comes to fruition. And that's what I expect. And I'll be working hard on it myself. And as I said, I'll be speaking to the OCTAS members here, within the nation here, to put their shoulder to the wheel as well and see where we go from there.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for the Ulster final this weekend at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's now 14 minutes past five, and time for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with rugby news, and the draw for next season's European Champions Cup was made earlier today in Switzerland. Ulster will play French side Clermont Auvergne. English outfit Harlequins and Bath have also been included in the group. Munster have been handed a difficult pull alongside reigning champions Saracen, as well as Simon Zeebo's Racing 92 and the Ospreys. Leo Cullen's Leinster are in alongside Lyon, Northampton Saints and Italian side Benetton. And Connacht, who are back in the competition for the first time since 2016, have been drawn with Toulouse, Gloucestershire and Montpellier. The other pool includes Ronan O'Gara's La Rochelle, along with the Exeter Chiefs, Galway Warriors and the Seal Sharks. To soccer, Cork City could face Stephen Gerrard's Rangers in the second qualifying round of the Europa League. The Leasiders will face the Scots or St Joseph's from Gibraltar. St Patrick's Athletic, who will take on IFK North Shopping in the opening round, will play the winners of Dynamo Minsk or Latvian side Liepāja. Shamrock Rovers could play either Apollo Limassol or Kanu Žalgiris from Lithuania if they beat their Norwegian opposition in the first phase. Meanwhile, the draws for the second round of the Champions League have also been made. Champions Dundalk will face either Karabag of Azerbaijan or Albania's Partizania Tirana if they overcome Latvian champions Riga FC. Scottish champions Celtic's reward if they beat FK Sarajevo in round two is a meeting with one of Estonia's Nauman Kalju or KF Shkëndija from North Macedonia. Now in Gaelic games, the biggest day in Cavan football will be this Sunday when the Breffni County play in their first Ulster final in 18 years. Donegal beat Cavan in the 1983 final, and since then they featured in three, with victory coming in 1997 under Martin McHugh. To reach this year's final, they had a titanic tussle with Armagh, overcoming the Orchard County after a replay. Cavan has had under 21 Ulster success, but like the entire current Cavan playing squad, it's a first senior final for Cian Mackey. This season's super sub knows Donegal will be a formidable force.
They're one of the top teams in the country, and they're probably the kingpins of Ulster over the last 10, 12 years. You know, you can't really argue with the quality they have, you know. So we just have to go in, stick to our game plan, and push hard, and hopefully be able to get over the line. But we have to respect how good they are as well.
Is the fact that you've now got two games in Clonus underneath your belt going to be an advantage? They haven't played Clonus this year.
I wouldn't say it's an advantage against them, but I think it's an advantage for us because we haven't played too many games in Clonus, and we also haven't won too many games in Clonus, you know. And maybe getting our foot on the sod the last 2 weeks in a row, you know, will do us no harm as a team going in to play in an Ulster final, you know. But I don't think it'll give us an advantage because they've played many a time over the last couple of years in Clonus, but I think it has helped us as a team get used to the pitch.
Well, coming up here later tonight on Highland, we will, of course, be looking forward to that final on a special hour-long GAA preview with Tom Comack. Michael Lafferty, captain of the 1983 Ulster-winning Donegal team who defeated Cavan in that final, will be joining Tom. That is the one and only final that the two counties have met in so far, of course, until Sunday. Paddy McDyre, son of the legendary Columba McIntyre, a member of the 1947 Cavan All-Ireland winning team. Cavan man Oliver Prunty, and now living in Donegal and highly immersed in Donegal football, and chairman of St Mary's GAA Club in Convoy, will also be on the show, along with Donegal's best-known piper from Rafoe and avid Donegal supporter Christy Murray, and Cavan former Cavan star Stephen King. So there's a whole lot happening tonight. The GAA programme with Tom Comack, usual throw-in time, is at 8:30 this evening. On the motorsport front, Ken Block is excited about launching into the Donegal Rally this coming Friday. The American hopes to go quick and build speed in his Escort Cosworth over the weekend as he tackles the event for the first time. He has a massive fan base and loves to interact with them, but there comes a time when he has to be serious as well. He's targeting a first finish in the Escort.
Two events in this car in the past, and we've had some mechanical issues. It's just such a brand new car. We've done very little testing. I think there's less than 100 miles on this car in testing. The one sitting next to you, the Fiesta R5, has over 3,000 miles of testing on it. Yeah. So, you know, my focus this weekend with the team is to have this thing mechanically sound, make it to the end, but also I've got to make sure I don't take too many risks this weekend too, so I can be there at the end also.
What's your message to the Ken Block fans and Donegal?
I love that people enjoy watching what I do, not only during the races, but also having fun with these cars. But, you know, the main thing is, if you're a fan, understand that there's a big difference between the safety that we take to go do everything that we do than trying to do it on the street. So if anyone's trying to race or hoon or do anything fun with the cars, make sure you do it in a controlled situation, especially somewhere like a track.
And you can hear more from Ken Block by going to the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com, where you can watch a video of that interview in full. By the way, this evening, we'll see the annual Drivers Against the Co-Drivers charity football match ahead of the Donegal Rally. A number of the crews will be showing off their soccer skills on the new 4G pitch at Letterkenny Community Centre, and it's all in aid of a very good cause. The Bumblins kicks off at 7:30. Two experienced managers will be in charge. Conor Curley looks after the drivers. Rory Kennedy is coaching the co-drivers. If no one else, it will be some light entertainment on a Wednesday evening. Finally, we go to cricket, and the three-day interprovincial event between the North West Warriors and the Leinster Lightning has been won by the visiting Leinster side. It was, of course, hampered by rain over the last couple of days. They managed just one innings. The North West Warriors ended up on 135. The Lightning, 138 for 5 in reply earlier today, so a 5-wicket win there for Leinster in that event. And that's it from the sports desk for today. Next bulletin is tomorrow morning after the 8 o'clock news.
Hi, Ken Block here. Remember to keep the race in its place. Let us do our thing in the right environment. Keep the roads safe for everyone this rally weekend. Thank you.
A safety message from the Donegal Motor Club and Highland Radio.
Thanks, Oisín. And returning to some news, Fianna Fáil says the scaremongering from Fine Gael over the party's commitment towards vital road projects in the North West is reckless. Donegal Deputy Charlie McConlogue has been responding to Minister Joe McHugh's claim that Fianna Fáil's climate and environmental policy is threatening major road projects under the National Development Plan. It comes as Fianna Fáil Deputy Timmy Dooley recently said that the National Roads Programme should be reprioritised. Deputy McConlogue says it would suit Fine Gael better to redirect their efforts towards allocating funding for the projects.
I'm surprised at Deputy McHugh. I see that the Fine Gael Press Office have decided to issue a number of press releases in TD's names right across the country, and in Deputy McHugh's case, alleging that Fianna Fáil would somehow not have a strong commitment to the A5 Derry to Dublin Road, or indeed to the Bonnygee Link. And I really think that instead of making things up with his colleagues, that we need to see Minister McHugh and the government actually double down and get on with the job of trying to achieve progress on the Bonnygee Link in particular, but also the A5 road, because over the last 9 years of this government, we haven't seen progress go forward in relation to those projects, and indeed in relation to the A5, we have seen the funding commitment scaled back, and in both those are absolutely essential to County Donegal as well as other road infrastructure projects as well. It's essential that we see that funding come in the next few years, and Fianna Fáil will be doing all we can to actually ensure that that happens, and it certainly would behove the Minister McHugh and the current government better to try and achieve progress in relation to them rather than seek to make up statements which are in no way accurate.
And finally, one in four home burglaries in the summer involved entry through an unsecured door or window. Gardaí are urging homeowners to make sure their property is fully secure before heading off on holidays. The call comes on the EU's focus day on domestic burglaries. And Garda Síochána is one of the EU agencies taking part in the focus day. Mulgrana-based Sergeant Charlene Anderson says the message is a simple but effective one.
We would be encouraging people, you know, just ensure that if they are leaving their property, that the doors and windows are locked. If they have sensor lights outside, this could act as a good deterrent. People this time of year tend to be going on holidays. I know social media is very prevalent, but maybe put up their photographs when they return off their holidays. If they have a trusted friend or a family member that could maybe go to the property, check it, turn on a light, or use some timer switches to have lights coming on and off. It does have a major effect on people when their properties are broken into. It's something that stays with you. And not only is your property robbed, but your sense of security is robbed as well.
For weather now, further scattered showers overnight will become less frequent. Lowest temperatures of 6 to 9 degrees in moderate southwest breezes. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, a 22-year-old man has pleaded guilty to criminally negligent homicide in connection to the death of a Donegal man in America. 19-year-old Liam McGlinchey was found dead on a Clifton Park driveway on August the 25th, 2017, after a night out. Over 17,000 people were awaiting an outpatient appointment at Letterkenny University Hospital as of the end of last month, while nationally 56,411 people were waiting for an outpatient appointment with a consultant at the end of May, up over 40,000 since the end of last year. The government has been accused of contravening the constitution by not bringing the terms of a 2013 agreement recognising a British exclusive economic zone in the vicinity of Rockall before the Houses of the Oireachtas. Senator Padraig McLaughlin raised the issue of fishing rights around Rockall as a commencement matter in the Seanad this morning. Communications Minister Richard Bruton says the government remains committed to restricting the access of young people to pornographic material and other harmful online content. Speaking earlier on today's 9 till noon show, Minister Bruton confirmed that age verification for adult sites is being considered, but he said there are other concerns, including the legality of many such sites. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituaries for this Wednesday evening, the 19th of June. The death has taken place of Mary Barr, née McBride, 111 Ballycommon Estate, Strabane, and formerly of Barnes Road, Ballybuffet. Her remains will repose at her home from 6:30 this evening. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 9:15 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Foyle Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has occurred of PJ O'Brien, Glencar Irish, Long Lane, Letterkenny. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral Mass on Friday morning at 10 o'clock in St. Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, with interment afterwards in Newleck Cemetery. House private pleas from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. The death has taken place of Charles Clark, Drung, Quigley's Point. House strictly private, please, at the family's request. Funeral Mass on Friday morning at 11 in St. Columbus Church, Drung, with burial afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of Liam Collins, funeral director. The death has taken place of Noel Deehan, 194 Berry Hill Road, Dunamana. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 25 past 10 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St. Patrick's Church, Dunamana. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has occurred in Edinburgh, Scotland, of Catherine Walker, née Bonner, formerly Dremeen and Littlebridge, Dunloe. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning in St. Cronus Church, Dunloe at 10 o'clock, followed by interment of ashes in Critch Cemetery. The death has taken place of Kathleen Mary Hetherington, née McKeever, 30 Donaghadee Road, Brady. Funeral from her home tomorrow afternoon at 1:30, followed by service in Lechpatrick Presbyterian Church at 2 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations to Lechpatrick Presbyterian Church, care of Mrs. Ruth Hay, funeral director. And the death has taken place of Kathleen Farrell, née Mullen, 4 Newtown Street, Strabane. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in Sacred Heart Church, Derry Road at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m.